This week's Still Entitled is sponsored by Casper Mattresses, obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. And now you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/untitled and using offer code untitled. Listen, you spend about a third of your life sleeping. Let's make sure you're doing it on a good mattress. Casper brings together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days, latex foam and memory foam. They've got all the foams. So they've got just the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. Casper's got a risk-free trial and return policy. They'll deliver the mattress straight to you. You can try it for 100 days, and if you're not happy, they'll pick it back up. At the store, you get maybe a minute to try a mattress. With Casper, you actually get to sleep on it. It's $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. Comparing that to industry averages, that's an outstanding price point. So get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/untitled and using offer code untitled. Terms and conditions apply. And now, on with the show. Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Hey, everybody.
Whoa.
Good morning.
Welcome Our voices back. Are all different volumes.
We are recording this early in the morning. Whoa. It's, you know, I get sad when the days get so short and I wake up at 6:30 in the morning and it's freaking dark.
I just get sad when I wake up and it's 6:30 in the morning.
I've been waking up at 6:30 in the morning for so long, it no longer phases me.
We successfully trained a toddler to not wake up early in the morning. It's a real work there.
No, that's great. And that'll work until they're like until they're in school, and then it's going to be like you're getting up at, you know, the boys went to Mira Loma up here in San Francisco, and Mira Loma had something like a 7:50 a.m. start.
What? Why would you do that?
I had 7:15.
Because
what?
Because the San Francisco school buses have to alternate.
They don't have school buses?
They did at Mira Loma, and the schools basically arranged their starting times to accommodate the school bus.
Homeschooling schedules. Is totally the future.
Hey, you know, I've heard that Mythbusters is a great science class for that.
Yeah, I'll just totally put the TV on all day. I mean, I figure between you guys, dirty jobs, and then, you know, the guy who goes out in the wilderness and eats stuff off the ground.
Oh, Les Stroud.
Yeah, like that's all she needs to know.
So I want to talk about pulling the trigger and doing it. I went and I bought the brand new iPhone 6 Plus.
You got the Duke?
I think we all got the same phone.
We have all the same
phone. Exactly.
Mine's 128
same phone.
Gig.
Oh, you have 128 and 64.
Yeah, I only 64 is as much as I need. This is more maintenance.
I went fully crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
A caveat to, I know not everyone has an iPhone.
Yeah, we know not
everyone. Bear with us.
Bear with us.
We're talking about our experiences with it.
Yes.
We would love to hear your experiences with it, but, you know,
we're not
like
saying
technology.
iPhones are better.
Yep.
We don't really want to hear. Well, yeah, probably do.
Will doesn't want to hear.
We don't need any more comments about phones.
Yeah. No. Your phone works for you. That is awesome. And I have no problem with that. I am very much enjoying the Duke, and I have already. I've already forgotten what it's like to have a smaller phone.
So my initial reaction was that the battery was kind of sad.
On the new one.
On the new one.
And that, you told me the battery would be great.
Yes.
And that was one of the convincers. And I have found it actually is terrific for me.
So, but you came from a 6.
Mm-hmm.
The last iPhone you used was probably a 5, right, mm-hmm. Norm? The thing I found was that the battery, there was a double whammy of things that happened to me. The first day that I got it, I spent all day driving around the valley in the car, like with GPS on, across to Oakland and back. So I was doing a ton of GPS work, and I didn't bring my charger with me. With the 6 Plus, the last gen phone, I didn't really have to plug it in. Like, I've driven to LA with it on GPS the entire time, and it was fine. It had 20% left when I got there. With this one, it chews through battery when it's on GPS. And there's been some stuff that's come out
about
the processor differences. I have the Samsung processor.
Is that the good one or
the bad one? But it's only bad when you're really hammering CPU.
Okay.
Which, if you think about what happens when you use GPS, then you're really hammering.
Now, I might have a different one because I haven't had that experience, and I use the Waze GPS all the time. I love Force Touch. And you told me you have yours set at even the lightest touch.
Yes. Where is that in accessibility?
Accessibility.
Okay.
It's not used enough, though.
No.
I'm just disappointed.
But everyone's going to keep. Everyone's,
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, because I found for photo doing a selfie amazing. Like being able to do the contextual menus when I touch on a program.
Use the Force Touch as the selfie as your. You know what my favorite is?
What?
Genius Scan. So when I need to take a picture of a receipt, I can go straight to the scanning page.
Oh.
Right. Nice. Like, I love the deep link into the thing that I use the most. I wish that the apps that used it let you configure it.
Yes. Let's talk about a configurable parameter that killed me and ate up my entire data plan.
What oh, the Wi-Fi assist?
The Wi-Fi assist.
Oh, wow.
So Wi-Fi assist, tell me correctly, is that only Wi-Fi? Does Wi-Fi assist part of the new iOS or is it only
part
work
of the
on
new
the
iOS.
S phones? Okay. So I went through my whole family and turned off all our Wi-Fi assist, but we basically use 50% of our data plan in the 6 days following the launch of the new iOS.
Yep. I use 16 gigabytes in 4 days.
Yeah. In and out of areas that have a lot of places, and they'll switch from Wi-Fi to cellular and not tell you.
And I agree that, like, in a pinch, Wi-Fi assist is a great idea. But let me explain why I got really, really mad. Because Apple has this other new thing in the new iOS, which is when you go to the settings menu, you can search for a specific setting.
Really?
Yeah. There's now when you go to settings, you can pull down and there'll be a search bar at the top and you can search, where do I find the force touch increase sensitivity, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you. If you search Wi-Fi assist,
does not pop up.
It does not pop up.
Oh, that's not okay.
That's a conspiracy. I'm sorry, but that is totally collusion to eat my data plan. There's only one reason they forgot to make a settings menu item available.
Normally, I'm the first one on board with the contrails,
chemtrails,
or the number stations or any of that.
I'm sure it's not there.
But Apple and Google.
Let us all try our
phones. Let's try this right now.
Apple is not in the business of making money for the networks.
You are correct.
I'm correct. Wi-Fi only brings up the Wi-Fi menu, not Wi-Fi assist.
And assist doesn't even bring it
nope.
up.
Nope.
What about data plan boning?
I rest my case.
Well, 2.0.
It's a conspiracy.
This is a rent, don't buy.
Oh, boy. This phone is garbage. I've decided.
The thing that I like.
He's so mad.
Consensus.
16 gigs.
So who collected
just me.
Money? Who collected? You use 16 gigs?
I use 16 gigs. I have an 8 gig data plan.
So we have this thing where, you know, my wife also gets the announcement, you've used 75% of your data plan. And I was monitoring. I got the same email. I was like, we're going to be fine. I made my kids turn off Wi-Fi assist. I turned it off on my wife's phone. We ran out of our data plan like 4 hours before midnight.
Wow.
I was so close. It was like, everybody's phone off.
You know, they only charge like 10 cents a gigabyte or something. It's not super expensive.
I know, but I got...
This is the general principle.
Your data plan will switch over on the whatever date it was. And I was like, oh my God, that's in midnight. It's only 9 p.m. And then it was like, you've run out.
I understand why... You know, old telecoms want to charge, and then why they have these metering systems. But it really feels like these systems hold us back technologically.
Well, they do.
And all the innovation, like right now, programmers, people making apps and services, so much of it is contingent on the fact that we have the idea of unlimited bandwidth, unlimited streaming. I mean, Netflix works because of that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel like you're constrained to whatever you pay for, the 16 gigs or 20 gigs a month, like, you can't use the internet the way you want to.
I agree. And this is why we're so low on the international scale of internet speeds and phone access speeds.
I'm going to not play devil's advocate, but I'm going to play devil's advocate
all right,
for a moment.
Go for it.
We're talking cellular networks are shared pipes. So everybody that's connected to the same tower shares the maximum theoretical bandwidth across all the devices in the thing. So if you and I and Norm are all connected to the same cellular tower and Norm's sucking down Netflix 4K videos as fast as he can, then that means I'm going to have a bad experience when I need to get email or whatever. So when we have a shared infrastructure... You know,
make the better infrastructure.
I don't.
Well, that's coming.
Right. No, I don't disagree with that idea about pipes. But if that's the case, I ask you, why would you make Wi-Fi assist unsearchable in the settings? Because you'd rather make it searchable.
It's chemtrails, Adam.
Boom! I'm ready.
Chemtrails.
Another Socratic takedown.
Socratic takedown.
Well, I know what we're going to call this episode.
Boom!
There's no way I'm going to remember that when we get to the naming of the episode, but maybe. What should we talk about today, gentlemen? We talked about talking about phones, and then I think we left it off at that, so this is the worst segue ever.
So, have you guys... I'm going to talk about a show that neither of you have seen. Dahl and M?
It's a hyper-reality show, and it's Emily Mortimer.
Emily Mortimer.
And her best friend, and playing herself. HBO show, went for one season.
I believe it's now in its second season.
Oh, they renewed it.
And I've watched 5 of the episodes, and it's basically... Emily Mortimer is Emily Mortimer, the movie star. Her best friend Dolly has a breakup in her marriage and calls her distraught. She literally catches her on the red carpet while standing next to Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
And Emily Mortimer's like, oh, sweetie, come out and be my assistant in LA and live with me, and we'll just like, we'll make this work. We'll just get you sorted out. Now, when you go to be your movie star best oldest friend's assistant, all sorts of weird friendship dynamics can become...
I can see how that might get hinky.
Yeah.
So it's a playing herself, poking fun at Hollywood.
Poking fun at Hollywood and narcissism, right, and myopia and the culture of... Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Is this like the Matt LeBlanc show?
It's a little like Episodes. It's cringy. It's super cringy. And it's more cringy than it is funny. But you do, I have to say, at the end of the first episode, I was like, I don't know if I can take this show. This is, it's super hinky.
On the scale between like Ricky Gervais and say the American Office, terms of cringy humor,
those are pretty close to each other.
I feel like the American Office is a real distilled safe version of that. And Ricky Gervais's version was intense and painful.
It's more the original British Office.
Okay.
It's more, and the British Office was hilarious.
Oh yeah.
This again, is not as funny because there's a lot more kind of a deep dive into how fucked up we all are.
Is it possible that you have a unique perspective on this?
I certainly do. Oh, yeah. No. Absolutely, I have a unique perspective on this.
Do you like that idea when actors play versions of themselves?
Well, I think it's actually... So I think it's really cool. I think Emily Mortimer is fearless because she does not... There's no cure is taken for her dignity in this, to quote Mary Carr, quoting Tobias Wolff. Anyway, it's a very complicated relationship, but you really do love both women, and it's fascinating watching it play out. And wait, there was one more thing I was going to say, but oh, right. Everybody's in it. Everybody. Because it's just like, there's this whole new thing. There's no more any stigma for movie stars to appear on television.
That's right. Well, especially HBO.
Rap battles, epic lip sync battle they get everybody.
Yes.
And now this Dahl and M, it's like, John Cusack's in an episode, and it's wonderful. Susan Sarandon plays crazy Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yeah. That's great. But that kind of started with Curb, right? Or Entourage, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Bob Saget popped up in Entourage as Bob Saget.
Who do you think's more rich? Come on, who do you think?
Yeah.
Still haven't seen the movie.
What movie? I deny that there's a movie. I haven't seen it. I'm not interested.
Norm, you were talking about Rick and Morty before we sat down.
Yeah,
we're
talking about recommendations.
No, it's not funny, right?
No, it's totally funny.
It's totally funny, but it's also kind of intense.
It's emotionally intense at some parts, which is a surprise and a nice surprise. There's actually some trauma. This is a Adult Swim Cartoon Network show. And it is, on its face, a parody of the relationship between Doc Brown and Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
The thing that's just kind of hinted at, right?
So, yeah, and it's not the whole premise for the show. I think Dan Harmon...
I had no idea that it had a Marty McFly connection.
So Dan Harmon is the co-creator of the show, and I think Justin Roiland is the other guy. And I think they made a short. So they basically came together and said, hey, watching Back to the Future... It's kind of messed up that this crazy old dude is kind of taking this young kid, impressionable kid, on these wacky adventures and putting him in a time machine and like putting this dog in a time machine. And, he's kind of a psycho. So what if Doc Brown was just a crazy psycho and
didn't have a time machine?
It's interdimensional travel.
Okay.
Is the theme of Rick and Morty. So instead of Doc Brown and Marty McFly, it's Rick and Morty, and they're related. Rick is the grandfather of Morty, and their mannerisms have a little bit of a version of Doc Brown and Marty McFly, but the show comes onto its own in the very second episode, and they go on these adventures. So it's very like Doctor Who, how you have a super intelligent main character and his companion or her companion, and then they travel and they go on misadventures. But really, the idea is, what if Doc Brown was a super brilliant, drunk, crazy, psychotic mad scientist?
Wow.
And taking his grandson on these adventures.
Does everybody know that he's psychotic or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's an important question.
But the reason I like it isn't just because it's really funny. It's really good science fiction.
Oh. Wow. Like in the Futurama sense?
Yes. Where Futurama has like really smart math and concepts, here they take like tropes from science fiction novels, parallel universes, multiple timelines, Inception, you know, and all these trips, and write it into this 23-minute episode, and that's really, like, really funny way.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. I will check this out. Yes. This sounds really worth
watching. The second episode is the one that's going to really sell you on it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. What have you been watching?
I've been watching BoJack Horseman.
My kids have been watching that, but they're like, it's okay.
It starts off really, really strong. I've gotten to the end of the first season, started the second season. The second season's not anywhere. The first season was amazing and kind of... So the setup for BoJack Horseman is that BoJack Horseman is a half man, a man with a horse head,
right,
in a universe populated with normal humans, but also some animal humans, like birds and dogs and cats and mm-hmm. all sorts of other things. And he is a washed up 80s sitcom star. I can't remember the show's name was, I think, Horsing Around. Something like that. Like, yeah, it's a horse pun. And he, you know, he was a single guy, single horse guy who brought some small children into his life. And then wacky hijinks ensue, you know, in the Alf slash Full House.
That was the premise of the show that he was on.
Copy. But now it's 30 years later and he's kind of washed up, but maybe knows that he's washed up, but also doesn't know that he's washed up. It's a Will Arnett joint. So Will Arnett being Will Arnett.
And so it starts off really strong, but isn't.
I haven't gotten all the way through the second season. I know a lot of people really liked it. I thought that the first like five or six episodes are spectacular. But yeah, it's worth watching. Like, it's fun. It's like 30 minutes. It's the kind of thing that I put on at 10 o'clock if I want to watch something else before I go to sleep. It's great for that.
Okay. And now, speaking of animals, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Adam's just walking off now.
No. All right. I'm coming back.
I was going to say the other thing.
Yeah.
Have we talked about the show on USA, Mr. Robot, yet?
No, but I'm dying to watch it.
I know you really like it.
So the opening, I've told a bunch of people this, and I've gotten universal feedback that I'm right. The cold open on the pilot for Mr. Robot, if that doesn't, I think it's the best opening scene in a pilot I've probably ever seen.
Right.
Maybe this side of Lost.
I'll have to watch that tonight.
The rest of the show
is... The cold open for the pilot of Lost is one of the greatest things ever.
Because it just starts with the airplane crash, right?
Mm-hmm. It starts on Jack's eye.
Right.
Opening, pupil dilating.
Spoiler, it's how also the show ends.
Careful.
Does the show ever end, really? Yeah.
Well, the last shot is the same shot as the opening shot.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not a big spoiler.
It's the opening vignette is absolutely incredible.
Okay.
The first episode is an hour and a half. I think they're an hour after that. It's really, really tight and really amazing storytelling.
I've heard
USA.
Nothing but good stuff.
And they get the tech. I mean, they Hollywooded it a little bit, but they get the tech pretty. They do a pretty good job on the tech.
Okay. So speaking of animals and anthropomorphizing animals, a la BoJack Horseman, this book, Beyond Words, What Animals Think and Feel by Carl Safina, it was reviewed in the New York Review of Books last week, mm-hmm. And that's how I became aware of it. This is basically looking at the real complicated societies of animals. And within animal behaviorism as a field, it has been the default to not ascribe any human qualities to animals whatsoever in a description. Jane Goodall had her first paper about the apes rejected because she used gender pronouns and named them. And it was suggested that she referred to them all as it and gave them numbers instead of names. She refused. Her paper was still published. This book goes deeply into elephant, orca, dolphin, and wolf societies to show the flexible hierarchies, pair bonding, and all of these qualities that humans have that are totally amazing when you go to researchers who really understand these animals. I'm a couple 150 pages in, but I might have to read this little passage here for a second. Wait a second. Where is it?
So does it get into the differences between instinct and the societal, how is he breaking this out? Is it looking at the things that happen when you isolate like a wolf from when wolves grow up separate from wolves or grow up with dogs, then they behave a little bit differently than they do if they grow up with wolves, right?
But what they talk about is that there is more than instinct going on. And what his main premise here seems to be is we don't deny that an animal is hungry when it's behaving in a hungry way. We understand that that's a desire. When it is sleepy and exhausted, we understand it's sleepy and exhausted. They have brain stems developed through the same evolutionary channels that ours are, that respond to the same relative set of stimuli that we do, although in different degrees.
Well, and like our brains, the brains, as you get higher up the evolutionary ladder, the brains are kind of supersets of the brains that came below. That's the reason we call the limbic system the reptile brain. It's because it is literally the reptile brain.
But when you watch elephants communicating with each other, and you realize that if you study them long enough, that elephants can recognize up to 1,000 faces.
Wow.
From years before.
Right.
That this is more than grunt, grunt, water there. Grunt, grunt, bad things over there.
And there's a resistance in the scientific community to ascribe
a huge intelligence. And the author here, Carl Safina, is really working, I think, in a kind of origin of species way to build a case that that is an unscientific way to not ascribe any emotional content to the community, or any actually informational, deep informational content, i.e. what is it to be empathetic? What is it to actually be able to genuinely communicate in context? He points out in one of the bits, dolphins, that if a dolphin baby is playing with you, after a certain period of time, the mom is going to come over and say, "This is enough. I need my child's attention." And she will give you a tail smack. Mm. A dolphin researcher that works with dolphins found that when one of her interns was playing too long with the dolphin baby, the mother dolphin would come up to the researcher and give her a smack. That means the dolphin understands the human hierarchy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's,
yeah. So the book is packed with this kind of information. Right now, I'm in the Yellowstone Wolfpack chapter, which is totally amazing, covering the amazing wolves that were reintroduced to Yellowstone from Canada and how they thrived with a tremendous food bounty, but also how the groups split apart, how different wolves were great leaders and other wolves weren't great leaders. It's riveting, absolutely riveting.
That's fairly recent.
Yeah. This is like, the late 90s.
And the book is Beyond Words, What Animals Think and Feel by Carl Safina?
And again, I'm only 150 pages in. I just got it the other day. It's fantastic.
It could take a horrible turn where the dogs rise up and murder us all. I don't know.
I will tell you that if you're going to read about intelligent animals, it is eventually going to be a story about how humans have screwed up everything. You're reading about the elephants and you realize how they're still being slaughtered by one every 15 minutes in Africa for their ivory, and that this is an absolute tragedy, that you can't really corral them in. They travel hundreds of miles in their travels. And so it gets dark because that's a dark situation to read about when you're reading about any of these. But one of the key things he seems to be saying is we're spending a lot of time looking at life in outer space. And I've been thinking about this because I've been reading all the John Scalzi, which is often, alien cultures being translated. Well, we've got these cultures here, dolphins, wolves, orcas, elephants, and they are communicating with each other. Why can't we potentially increase our ability to communicate with them and understand what they're saying?
It's really interesting to me if the idea that humans are the only thinking animals, if that is an anthropocentric view that, is going to change over time.
I think it might be. And one of the things he points out is until we had agriculture, we were all basically the same.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no burgers.
Until you had the specialized labor. So that everyone wasn't focused on the same 10 things.
Exactly.
Food, pooping, shelter, etc.
It's totally fascinating. He even goes down to research of finding that, there are wasps that have been recognized as being able to recognize faces of other wasps, of individual wasps.
Wow.
And these are things we don't necessarily ascribe to animals of the lower order, as it were.
Well, and they're not simple survival mechanisms necessarily.
No, that there's an argument to be made that that complexity is real and that there is a genuine sentience, a deep and real intelligence going on. Which any dog owner will tell you. And as a dog owner, I totally feel that that's more than just instinct and more than just breeding. Although the argument could be made that our relations with each other is all just that.
I mean, the everybody who's had a dog has done something that pissed off the dog and came home to find a couch cushion destroyed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
My dog is a grumpy old lady at this point
in her
life.
There is communication going on. Real communication. Yeah. Anyway, it's a wonderful book. It's beautifully written.
Okay, so stuff we talked about this time. iPhone 6S Pluses.
Yes.
I'm calling mine Conspiracy. The Dookie because of the battery life.
I need a name for my iPhone Plus, and it's not the Duke because you took that, and it's great.
Yeah.
I was thinking of something I don't know. I was thinking of a name, but I couldn't think of a name that just sounds like it's money. Chet, no.
You don't think Chet?
No.
We know a couple of Chets. They're pretty money.
I don't know.
What about Chester?
I don't know. The Marquis? I don't know. Ooh. I have to come up with a name for the giant phone. Wait, last thing about this. I will tell you I had a wonderful experience on this big screen, which is Hail Caesar, the new Coen Brothers movie. The trailer is out, and it is one of the great trailers ever made.
They do good trailers,
they
usually.
Really do good trailers.
And
so
good movies.
I'm out in front of my wife's school the other day, and I'm waiting to pick her up, and I see, the trailer's up. Let me turn that on. So I'm sitting in my cruiser, and I turn it on, and I forgot that my phone's hooked into the stereo of my Land Cruiser. So I watched the trailer in full surround sound with the subwoofer, and I'm like, this is how I'm watching all my trailers from now on.
on a relatively big screen.
On a relatively large screen.
It's bigger than I'm used to.
It was great. It was better sound than I get anywhere else in my life.
Do they cut their own trailers? They don't they?
I don't think so.
No? I don't know.
Nobody
I don't
does
know
anymore.
If anybody does.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about that.
The iPhone 6.
We talked about BoJack Horseman. We talked about
all had TV
Rick and
recommendations.
Morty, Mr. Robot. Recommendations. The other has hadn't
Morty,
seen. And Dahl and M.
Dahl and M.
On HBO.
We're talking about animals. And
Beyond Words by Carl Savina.
And then we're going back to TV shows. Westworld.
Oh.
Most excited for.
The TV show?
The TV show. I'm very excited about this too.
Yes. HBO.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting. Is it based on the Crichton stuff?
Based on Jonathan Nolan. From the perspective of the robots, mostly.
Oh, that's interesting. Yul Brynner's not with us anymore, right?
Yul Brynner died of lung cancer,
right?
And made the most heartbreaking anti-smoking ads because
he was the Marlboro
died.
Man.
He was not the Marlboro man, but he smoked constantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also maybe was the handsomest man that ever lived.
You know who they got for the gunslinger?
Who did they get for the gunslinger?
Ed Harris.
Perfect.
Oh my God. He was born to play a robot. I don't mean that as any admin.
We love Ed Harris.
Ed Harris.
We like Ed Norton too.
I love Ed Norton too, but Ed Harris is just the best.
Yeah. Really, really good. Okay. I think that's a good place to wrap this up.
It's a general culture podcast today.
Next Friday.
That's right.
We have a live show in San Francisco. So if you're around, we'd love to have you come by. We still have tickets available. It is
a week from Friday.
A week from this Friday.
Is this airing today?
This is airing today.
Yeah, so it's a week from this coming Friday. Right? Friday week, as they would say in the UK.
If it's Friday the 26th, 7th, 3rd.
3rd.
Whatever the Friday that's in the 20s, okay?
Friday the 23rd.
October 23rd.
Tested the show.eventbrite.com.
Friday week, for those listening today.
I'm going to say it again. Tested the show.eventbrite.com.
That's the one.
Tickets are available. We'll probably have some at the door, if I had to guess. But you should get them early because they'll be easier to get or something.
Yes.
And then the Tuesday after that, the 26th or 27th.
Sold out.
That's sold out already?
Sold out.
Oh, never mind. Sorry, you can't come to that.
But you can stay tuned for an episode from Alcatraz.
Two episodes from Alcatraz. What are we going to talk about on Alcatraz, guys?
Have you ever done anything there?
I might have
done something there. I have to remember.
Okay.
Is there it escapes my memory.
Yeah. There are flame things and chompers that you have to roll under?
I didn't have to do that.
Did you have two green flares and stand on the end of the island and wave your hands over your head?
I did make a bad man eat a green globule full of poison.
That's good. That's good. Okay, on that note, we will see you guys next week. Come to our show. You'll have a good time.
Tested Live will be amazing.
Bye.
Bye.